Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the Old Testament, the first book of Samuel at chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, "I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king," and that's to replace King Saul, the first king of Israel. "When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, 'Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.' Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, 'The Lord has not chosen these.' So he asked Jesse, 'Are these all the sons you have?' 'They're still the youngest,' Jesse answered. 'He is tending the sheep.' So he sent for him and had him brought in. Then the Lord said, 'Rise and anoint him. This is the one.'" And then I'm going to read out of the Old Testament in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 37 through 39. And Jesus replied, and he's replying to the Pharisees, testing him, trying to trip him up, asking about how they inherit eternal life and how one would. And Jesus replied to them and said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." In the past few weeks, we've looked within our lives, looking at whether we're living the life we have been created to live or whether we're missing it. You know, I pray that something God poked us with, poked me, poked you, opens our eyes and opened our eyes to see all the moments before us that he's placed there, to see the legacy we were leaving or the one we should leave of memorable fingerprints over the lives around us, or were we leaving a legacy of regrets because of too many missed moments? The key is to move from the hearing and from being inspired to change to the actual transformation in our lives, where we're actually making changes, where we begin to move forward toward the lives God wants us to live with the people and the moments that he has entrusted to us, as well as those all around us needing a lift up in life. You know, whenever I go out to eat, whether with Linda or my family or someone else, I do something that those who know me expect me to do, but others with me for the first time may find a bit unusual. At the first chance I get to engage the person who is serving us, whether they're taking our order or bringing food or just generally helping us out at the restaurant, I take a moment to get to know them a bit by asking as sincerely and directly as possible, "So, when you're not helping us out here like you are now, what else keeps you busy during the week?" Well, some will respond a bit cautiously, wondering, I'm sure, who is this guy that's asking me this question? And respond by saying, well, they play with their dog, they work, and then they sleep. But most sense my sincerity and begin sharing some things going on in their life, whether it's school, that they're about to graduate, or maybe they have a second or a third job. They might share about their children at home if they have children, or a parent whom they're caring for that's going through some illness or difficult moment as they get older. Many begin to talk about their hobbies and other interests such as music or art or some cause they're passionate about. They often launch into a host of things about themselves, and I just love hearing them talk about themselves and what they're doing. Trusting me in that moment, they begin sharing things that they're passionate about, things they'd like to see changed in the world, things they hope will help others. Sometimes they begin to share difficulties they're going through in their lives at that moment. I never ask them what they do, even though they might share what they do. I don't want them to feel like what they do is important to me, or that I'm trying to fit them into some job description or category or other box to then label them. The world wants to know what we do. The world focuses on what we do, doing things, and then tries to label and pigeonhole us. The world programs us into a doing type thinking. It wants to know what, and then it ascribes value to you based on what you do. But doing is not God's standard to determine our value. We're valuable because we are His. I read a devotional by Chuck Swindoll years ago entitled Doing Versus Being. He was reflecting on his high school days in the context of an upcoming class reunion, which caused him to dust off his old high school yearbook. Swindoll remembered that students were always asked, "What do you want to do in the next 20 years of your life?" He remembered some of the responses, many written in the pages of his yearbook, like make $1 million, win All-American honors and then play professional football, rob Chase Manhattan Bank and escape to Fiji, marry a rich movie star and live in Beverly Hills, finish med school and practice in Honolulu, sing at the Metropolitan Opera, and many, many others. All kinds of goals, some admirable, some questionable, some maybe even crazy or stupid sounding, but all about doing. He went on to suggest that we were asked the wrong question. What we want to do is not nearly as important as what we want to be and who we want to be and who we should be. I agree. Doing is connected with a career, a vocation, activities, salary, image, position, stuff, and accomplishments. The world is into doing. Doing is about success, as the world defines it. Climbing ladders, about hitting all the rungs and skipping some of the rungs on that ladder if you can. Anything to get to the top, hopefully to our best life. Then what? Another ladder? A taller ladder? Reaching more and more and seeking after some satisfaction? The aim to have a successful life, as the world defines it. A dear friend of mine and a very successful coach said that he would like to tell all those who are into climbing ladders to get to the top as the world defines it, hoping to find their best life, the life they are sure they were meant to live, that when they get there, they will find that what they thought they were climbing to reach is not there. Whether a head coach somewhere, becoming a head coach, whether president of a company, whether becoming wealthy, whether your name is on a building, especially he wanted to talk to all those young coaches, young folks, but young coaches in particular that he could identify with, climbing to be a head coach, leaving their families neglected, climbing for a trophy, for a national championship. It's not there. It won't satisfy, he would tell them. They'll need another and another and another, and they still won't feel satisfied, or it still won't fill the emptiness, the longing for something more. They'll find it's empty, not fulfilling. It doesn't satisfy. Instead, they would need to keep climbing and climbing to find more to satisfy that worldly call they were following of doing and achieving, of more and more and more, to reach the world's definition of success and best. But being, rather than doing, causes us to focus within, on who we are inside, how we respond to needs of others before us, the priorities we set for our life, which demonstrate a heart after God, touching the lives of those entrusted to us and those others who come before us. Being starts from within, and who we are deep inside, it starts in our heart. And out of the urgings of our heart, we find our best life, the life we were created to live. It's found in a relationship with God, born out of a heart that seeks after God. It's why the prophet Samuel seemed so confused when the Lord sent him on a king-picking mission to find a new king for Israel to replace Saul. At the house of Jesse and his son, Samuel saw the first son, Eliab, and thought, "Holy mackerel, surely this is the Lord's anointed." But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Well, Jesse had seven sons pass by, but the Lord picked none of them. But there was another, the youngest, who was tending sheep. And at Samuel's urging, Jesse brought David. And after David came before Samuel, the Lord poked Samuel and said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. He saw all of David's brothers accomplished, strong, bigger, appearing king-like, but God said no to them all. Then young David, with a heart to serve God, passed before them, and God said, yes, David, the new king. Younger and smaller in stature, yet with a heart for God, focused on the being things. The Lord said, in essence, do not consider that he's a great player or the winningest ever coach or president of a multi-billion-dollar company or leader of a country or elected official in a country, famous in the eyes of the world, or has all the money imaginable. I don't look at that, the Lord said. I look at their heart. Who are they? Deep inside. So going back where we are today and where we started today, no matter your age, what changes are you making in your life? What changes am I making? And hold me to it. To begin to live the life of impact and leave the legacy that God created you and me to leave. What is your heart telling you? Who is God calling you to be inside? Are you living the life God created you to live, the very best you can be with him, or just stopping in, popping your head in every now and then to the life you know you should leave to see how you're doing and where you are? What are you missing that God keeps pointing you to, that you keep turning your heart away from? Are we living the lives God is calling us to live, with the people entrusted to us and others in the world who need us, or are we still missing the moments and leaving a path of regrets? Are we climbing ladders to reach the world's definition of what is best, to satisfy the expectations and the judgments of the world around us, to be successful in their eyes, or are we living our best life with a heart after God, serving him and serving others? That's the life he calls us to. Look inside. That's our best life, now and always. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your reminders. They're all around us. They're in your word. They're in your creation. They're in the day as we walk through it, as you poke us and remind us that you want a relationship with us, that our best life, that all that you want us to be begins with our relationship with you, born out of a heart that seeks after you. Help us to do that as David did. Help us to see that the opportunities before us and those you've entrusted to us, help them to become all that you created them to be. Help us to walk in such a way that it's clear, not only to you, but to everyone, that our heart is after serving you, that we are about being who we can be in you, not meeting the world's expectations, not climbing ladders around us, but leaning into you, into our relationship with you, and becoming all that you created us to be, and to simply follow you, touching the world with you and for you, so that others become all that you created them to be. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for all you do for us. And thanks especially for your son. And it's in his precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.